When I was a preschooler, went to Sunday school, and actually I was very shy. I still am, you just don't think I am. I don't remember if Dad remembers this, but one of the reasons that he and my mother got into teaching Sunday school, because there was one little brat in the family who would not go to Sunday school by herself. So one of my parents had to help teach or be there, and otherwise there was quite a commotion in the room. But the one thing I learned in preschool Sunday school was a passage of scripture that has been in my heart and in my soul and in my spirit lifelong. And it's from 1 John. And this is what that scripture is. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? As preschoolers, it was easy to memorize and try to figure out what it meant. And I'm thankful that I was introduced to that scripture very early on in life. Sometimes we think our preschoolers, you know, might not be getting anything out of going to Sunday school or sitting in worship, but I will tell you they do. Many times they're soaking things in that we don't even realize they're soaking into their life. They're important to us, and we need to nurture them just as I was nurtured, and maybe some of you were nurtured as well. When I was in elementary school, one of the things that was very important to me, other than Sunday school, was going to summer church camp. My brothers and I went to summer church camp every summer. And in elementary school, I went to summer church camp in Watkins Glen at what was an old CCC camp. Now, some of you are looking like, what is a CCC camp? We can tell our age by whether or not we recognize that. It was a civilian conservation corps camp, and it had been converted into a 4-H camp, and our conference rented it from 4-H for several weeks so we could have elementary church camp. And as I finished third grade, I went to camp there. I knew it would be a great week. We'd have lots of fun. I like camping. We were in cabins and all that. And there was only one problem. I was there the first night and barely made it through the night. The second day, I ended up in the nurse's infirmary because I was sick. No, not with a stomach ache or sore throat. I was so homesick I couldn't stand it. I missed my parents, but I'll embarrass my brother. I missed my brothers. Do you believe that, bud? I missed them. So during the day, I'd go about all the camp activities and be fine. It would come nighttime. I'd go back to the bunk, try to go to sleep, and it started all over again. So the counselor would take me back to the nurse's quarter, and I'd sleep there and be protected and all of that. And probably after about 3 days, I finally settled in. Of course, we're only there 5 days. But one of the things that I learned at that church camp was the scripture, because we were out in God's world. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, God created. It was there that I learned and came to an elementary child understanding that all that God made, including me, was a gift and was good. Now, there's some experiences from that church camp that I'd rather like to forget. It was there that I developed my tremendous fear of snakes. Thank you, church camp and God's world. I didn't think God's snakes were good. We had gone out on a path hiking that day, and along the path slithered a snake, and I kind of backed up a little bit, and our counselor picked up the snake and said, "This is God's good creation, this wonderful snake, and we're going to love God's good creation, and I'm going to have every one of you pet the snake." You've already got it. I don't have to tell the rest of the story. I kept going to the back of the line and backing up. And the counselor, with all good intention, I know, now, reached out, grabbed my hand, and made me pet the snake. That was a little traumatic for me. And I wouldn't recommend that. And as I've trained church school leaders and camp counselors, you don't do that. But I think in essence it was saying that, you know, although I still question God about snakes, and if I ever get to heaven I'm going to ask him, God's creation was good and we were a part of it. I'm thankful for the community that protected me, even that nurse whose name I can't remember. And I'm thankful that my parents did not come get me, that I just had to stick it out. Because by the fourth and fifth day, it was pretty cool. And it was fun. You know, most of my formation, spiritual formation, was formed through being in church camps every summer. We were a part of what was then the Central New York Conference. So our church camp was Casa Wasco. Those weeks during the summer spent at Casa Wasco helped me to grow and informed me more in my spiritual life than did Sunday school or worship attendance. Yes, they were important. But that's where I met God. That's where I came to know God. That's where I came to know about the love and acceptance and challenges of the Christian community. It was in that intense setting that I learned to grow. When I was in high school, at this point, Bud and my older brother were in college. I decided that I no longer wanted to go to senior high Sunday school. That was after my sophomore year. I thought Mr. Ball was rather boring. There wasn't any excitement to it. We'd take the scriptures and, you know, one would read a verse and then another person would read a verse and then he'd talk to us about it. And I really didn't see much need in that. It wasn't very exciting. I said at the early service that I probably shouldn't say that with senior high kids here. But that was reality for me. But my parents said, as long as you go to worship and you go to UMYF, yeah, we'll kind of let go of Sunday school for a while. Betsy, who is a second or third cousin, was my age. And in my high school yearbook, I don't know if you wrote in your yearbooks notes to each other. In the back cover, Betsy wrote a note to me about how much fun we'd had in high school, glad she was a cousin and all this. And at the end, she said, "Too bad you didn't come to Sunday school. You might have learned something." Betsy's probably as surprised as anybody else that I'm up here doing this today. But one of the things that I learned as a senior high student was that sometimes we struggle. And when I went to college, I went to Brockport State. The first Sunday, I got up, my three roommates didn't, got dressed in my Sunday best. Now, for some of you younger people, you need to know that in those days, You really wore skirts, dresses, heels, the whole Sunday best. I got dressed, and my roommate said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to church. And they rolled over and went back to bed. So I walked down to the Methodist church, and the pastor was okay, and the congregation was friendly. And I did that for several weeks. And then when the fall weather and winter set in, now I think many of you may know where Brockport is, just outside of Rochester. So the winters were like we have here. It wasn't as bad as Oswego, but the winters were pretty rough when you're walking to church. And that church didn't really have a ministry to the college students. So they didn't provide transportation or anything. And two of my roommates, two people on my floor, were two that influenced my life. One was a Roman Catholic, and one was a Jew from the Bronx. It took me a month to begin to understand Marcia, the Jew from the Bronx, what she was saying because of her accent. But she really had an impact on me. She did her best at living out her faith in a college atmosphere. And I'd heard this scripture before, but Marcia kind of brought it back home to me. And it's this. It's from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and gates. The Lord our God, the Lord is our Lord, and He alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and might. She talked with me about that scripture, and she was doing her best to live that out in a very difficult situation. And you know, later on in my life, and I've preached on it here before, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what did he say? Love the Lord your God. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. During that time in conversation with Marcia, I began to kind of unpack that and learn a little bit more about what that meant. And she had a good influence on my life. On the other hand, one of her roommates was Linda, the Roman Catholic. Well, Newman Center was right there on campus, and you know, it was a lot easier to walk to the Newman Center for services than go down to First Methodist. My dad may not even know that I did that. I know my mom would not have been overjoyed with that. But I'd go with Linda to the Newman Center, and it was during the days, and again, some of you younger people are got to fill you in a little bit, it was during the days, I went to college, 69 to 73, when the folk mass came about. Some of you are nodding your head. You know, in the Catholic churches, all of a sudden there were showing up guitars and drums and songs like, they will know we are Christians by our love. Kumbaya. All of those at that point were what we would call today praise songs. And it was pretty cool going to Mass because we got to sit in beanbag chairs and on the floor and go in our jeans, and the priest would say something, and it was cool. It was nice. But stretching out that way also helped inform part of my spiritual life. Because they had questions. They did some stuff that I didn't understand. They did some stuff that I didn't know I could agree with. But it opened me up to begin to see that God can work in different ways. And for that, I'm grateful. When I finished college, I was trained to be a physical education teacher. I was going to do that since I was 5 years old. I did it for a short period of time. And then I started working in my home church as Christian educator and realized I needed more training. So at that time, Bishop Joe Yackel and my pastor suggested I visit Skerritt College in Nashville, Tennessee, because they had the best program in Christian education in the United Methodist Church. Never did know why the bishop suggested that until I got down there and found out he was the president of the Board of Trustees. And when I went for my visit, I sat with one of the professors in Christian education. Her name's Carrie Lou Goddard. At that point in my life, I was 25, and Carrie Lou seemed very, very old. After all, she had gray hair. She taught for a while. And I sat to talk to her, to find out more about Skerritt and what it meant to be in Christian ministry and Christian education. Every question I asked Carrie Lou, she turned around and asked a question back to me. Every time. You know, what's it like to work in Christian education, Carrie Lou? Well, what do you think it might be like? You know, well, what about, well, what's God telling you? You know, ask a question, receive a question. I left there very frustrated with this quote-unquote old lady. I didn't know she was an expert in children's ministry, so I just thought she was one of the professors. And it wasn't till I was in Skerritt for a couple years and around her, and even later, that I began to understand and appreciate what she was doing for me. She was helping to form me in the faith. She was not going to impart her faith and belief in me as a professor or as a person. She was going to lead me to discover that for myself. And what a tremendous gift that was. When you're able to do that for someone, it is a tremendous gift, because you're beginning to lead them in what we say in one of our rituals. You begin to lead them into the way that leads to life eternal. I left there and went to Greensboro, North Carolina, to become a Christian educator in one of the churches there. And I struggled quite a bit, not with the work at all, but with my own spiritual life and my own spiritual struggles. It was very difficult. I really didn't know if God wanted me to be doing what I was doing, or if it's what I wanted. I didn't know how God could take a person like me and let me lead children and youth. I had some very deep spiritual struggles and personal struggles during those days. One of my Christian education friends sat with me one long night. Actually, Pam sat with me many long nights. And she listened. And she helped me sort out things. And she was just there for me. And in one of our nights of longing and searching, she pulled out my Bible and turned to one scripture. She said to me, "Vonnie, I want you to remember this. I want you to hold fast to this right now." And the scripture was this. It was part of Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." And the last part of that scripture is this: The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And Pam was saying to me, although you might not be able to feel it, see it, hear it, believe it right now, keep going back to this, because God is leading and protecting you. And we, your friends, are part of the community that will see you through this. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do as Christian brothers and sisters. My friends weren't there just for the high good times, but they helped me to see through some of the very bad times. One of the things that I had discovered was that in my calling to ministry, God may have been calling me, but I was unable to hear it or unwilling to hear it. So for a while, my spiritual life would go along well. And I felt close to God, and God did come back around, and that was good. But then there was times in my life again where that spiritual struggle just took over. Bud, more than anybody else, Bud and Nancy lived through part of that with me, along with some friends that I had. And again, in one of those dark nights of the soul, another friend sat with me, several friends, again throughout many nights, and they left me with this, saying, Bonnie, hold fast to this right now. Hold fast to this. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? If God is for us, who is against us? You know, that's a good thing to hang your hat on as you're traveling your spiritual journey. I'm not alone in being one who may have been called into ordained ministry or lay ministry who has not had struggles of the soul. And that's where the community of faith comes in to help us. At one point, I had difficulty praying to God. Yeah, you're going to say, oh, she's standing up there and she had trouble praying with God. I did. And the church that I was at that time said, we will pray for you. We'll pray for you when you're unable to pray. That, my friends, is the community of faith. They're the ones who saw me through that. They're the ones that enabled me to continually open up to God and say, God, where are you leading me? I did everything I could to be in ministry and run away from God for ordained ministry. I figured I'd try everything else out. I became the executive director of the Ark of High Point, working with developmentally disabled children, youth, adults, their families, in direct services and as an advocate, because I thought that's where God was calling me. And God did call me there in a sense, but I went to help them. Boy, was I wrong. Not the first time, won't be the last time. But they ministered to me, even without knowing it, in ways that helped me to praise God and to understand God, to forgive, to seek forgiveness, to know how to love one another, to love one another unconditionally. to find joy in life. God placed me there not so I could minister to them. I'm convinced now, hear that now, not then, now, that I might grow. Well, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the institutional church and with churches. So at that point, I felt called back to Christian education and went to a church in Christian education. And as I was doing that, I was also doing studies in chaplaincy. When I went to the next church, I sat down with the pastor. This was January, as I was interviewing, and I said, "Are you going to be here next June, or are you moving?" And he said to me, "No, I'm staying put. I'm not moving. Anybody who knows Methodist ministers, you know you don't say that." June, he was moved. This was a difficult church to serve because it was very unhealthy. They had some things that had taken place in it, and it was just tough. So they sent a minister who had a year or two before he could retire. And Dwight was there, and I worked with him, and we tried to love the people. And after 1 year, Dwight said, "I can retire. I'm out of here." Now, you may wonder, do pastors really feel that about their congregation? Just sometimes. Hopefully not here. So we had a third minister come in, and I'm in my third year. Did you get that? 1, 2, 3. And Jack came in. Jack struggled there, too. And since I was doing studies in chaplaincy, along with talking with people in the church and the pastors that I served with, we kind of determined what the basic difficulty and problem was for that church. And I'll share it with you. It's not a good one. But that church had 3 pastors in a row that had affairs with either church staff members or members of the child care center that the church sponsored. 3 in a row, and the congregation had lost faith in pastors and any spiritual leaders. They were struggling. They were struggling, and they were hurt, and they were angry. And it's taken years for them to overcome it. As I said, I was doing chaplaincy study, and at that point, I felt God had called me to a different kind of ministry, so I had another appointment, and I ended up becoming the chaplain of the hospice there in High Point and the children's bereavement counselor. People ask, how could you do that? Be around people who are dying and death and children who are affected by that. The answer is simple. You had to be close to God. If any of you have had hospice to serve your families, I hope you've had a very meaningful, good experience. But you know, during that time, walking with some people who weren't sure they'd call themselves Christian, walking with some people who didn't go to church, walking with some people who you would not say were religious, I found that they were always spiritual beings. And ultimately, they all believed in God. And ultimately, they taught me something. I hope you hear a little thread in this message. Every time I went to minister thinking I had something to offer, even amongst all the struggles, as I look back on it now, having been retired and laid around for a year, I can see how much God had helped me to grow through all of those experiences. And it's taken me right back to one scripture that I guess if anything is emblazoned on my heart, it would be this one. We love because God first loved us. Where did I learn that? Preschool. You can ask Bud, my dad, my family. Has Bonnie ever struggled? Has she ever been angry with the church or angry with church people or, you know, had bad times, has struggled? I'm not suggesting they reveal everything. But I think they can say, yes, we've experienced that. God works in each one of us in strange ways. And he can take those of us that might think we're the least of us and do some mighty things through us. So I guess as I end this today, I would say to you, open up your life, open up your heart to God. Lay it before him. Hold fast to scriptures that have supported and nurtured you. Pray when you can, and when you can't, find others who will pray for you. For God will work in your life. And it can be amazing where God will take you. My dream as a little girl, I was going to be a phys ed teacher, and I wanted to live in Maine. I ended up being a pastor in North Carolina. Go figure. That's only God. Open yourselves. One of my other favorite scriptures, do not be afraid, for God will work mightily in you.